And you are listening to Rockcast. I'm Jim Santora, and with me at this time, we have guitarist Jeremy Edge from the band Candlelight Red. And Jeremy, welcome to the program.
What's up, man? It's great to be here.
Hey, we're just getting around to the Christmas season, and great to be talking to you and to talk a little bit about the band here. First, I want to say you guys basically just got off a tour with an opening spot with Seven Dust, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the first question I want to ask was how was that tour?
Oh, it was amazing. It was a crazy ride. We traveled all over the country. That's where we actually started. We had to do a radio show out in Spokane, Washington. And we literally braved a blizzard-covered mountain to get there. And we had to get out of Spokane and meet Seven Dust in Pensacola. And we did just under a month with Seven Dust, about 13, 14 dates. Started off in Florida. We actually had Thanksgiving dinner in 70-degree weather outside in Florida. And then worked our way up north and actually ended up doing some shows way up north, like Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Minneapolis. And all the shows were just fantastic. The Seven Dust guys, they draw great everywhere, and Seven Dust fans are just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they're an awesome band. I actually got to see them this year on the Uproar Festival, and thought to myself, these guys are playing on the side stage, and it was really a shame because they're such a great band. They should have really been on the main stage, but they definitely put on a great performance.
Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, Seven Dust. I mean, when you see them live, you understand they set the bar really for this genre of music, you know, as far as the live show is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
They definitely kick ass.
So let's talk about, you have a new CD out, or actually it's been out for a little while now. It's called The Wreckage. Some great stuff. I've been listening to it often. I've had the CD for a little while here, and obviously due to some scheduling things and stuff, just getting to get to interview guys now. Some really great stuff. I mean, if we're talking like, you know, obviously modern hard rock and stuff, I mean, this is great from top to bottom. All these tracks just really stand out, and I just want to say, you know, first, great job, you know, for putting together such a really cool disc. I think it's a really good listen from top to bottom on here.
Thank you very much.
Let's kind of go into as far as putting the disc together and kind of going through that kind of thing as far as about putting different songs together, songwriting processes, being in the studio. Just kind of tell me how that was like in putting the Wreckage together.
We were a little bit all over the map because we had kind of demoed The Wreckage, Closer, and Medicated before we got signed. We actually did, you know, a couple different incarnations of that where we had where I did the drum machine and put the parts together in Pro Tools, and then had Ryan come in and write the vocals, and then we re-recorded everything. And also, there were some things that we kind of really pulled together, like In Your Hands and Gone Forever. Some of those songs really pulled together and took shape in the studio and were more of a live feel type writing. But generally, it usually starts with the pre-production processes that, we come to bring the music to Ryan, and Ryan writes the lyrics around the music.
Okay, and as far as and it kind of sounds like kind of the general approach, the vocalist generally writing the lyrics to the songs and stuff. And for people that are just jumping on here, we are speaking to Jeremy Edge. He's the guitarist for the band Candlelight Red. And if you are following here on the program, you can also check him out online while you're listening here at candlelightred.com.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the general feedback overall as far as the CD goes. I was reading some stuff in the bio and some different things going through Facebook and stuff. You've gotten some of the music has been played on Sirius Radio and Octane. And how about general radio across the country? How's the response been for the band?
Well, for a band, you know, that puts out their first record that nobody's ever heard of, we're pretty amazed with the feedback we've got. I mean, we've been spun Octane two or three times a day, it seems like, for the last couple months. Music Choice has been spinning us, and which Octane is huge in our format. It's like the number one active rock station. Mm-hmm. And it covers the whole, pretty much the northern hemisphere. And and we got up to, I think Closer got up to 42 on the active rock chart before the Thanksgiving holidays hit. And that's a huge honor for us that we had, over a dozen stations at us, this early in the game before even CDs are actually even out in stores. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely humbling, and we're just really thrilled, that we've gotten so much great feedback off the single and off the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Closer is a great song. Can you kind of give me a little bit of background about what that song's about?
Ryan wrote the lyrics. I have the general idea, the gist of the song. I think it's, about, relationship troubles or family troubles, and, thinking that, that there's got to be something that's wrong, and it's not just your imagination, and then kind of finding out that, your suspicions are true, and everything falling apart, that kind of thing. Well, we like to leave a little bit of, open interpretation in the lyrics. He does seem to write from personal experiences or experiences with people he knows or is close to, and have kind of a storytelling aspect to the songs. But we do like to keep it on a level where people can kind of read their own meaning into it, and it can mean something to them as well.
Okay, very cool. I did notice that you guys are from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Which is home of the Little League World Series, am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
What's funny is I've lived, for the past couple of years, I lived within walking distance of that, and it seems like we were always playing or doing something every year. I haven't gotten to go yet, and I actually just moved about an hour south. So, Williamsport's probably the closest, little big city that's around. Actually, Ryan and lives in Elkland, Jamie and Wellsboro, which are kind of, really, really small towns out in rural PA.
Gotcha. Now I'm actually in southern New Jersey. I'm actually between Atlantic City and Philadelphia. As far as Williamsport goes, and we're always interested in talking about, because obviously, you guys kind of, built yourselves from obviously whatever scenes or whatever that are out, as far as music. But as far as Williamsport, where are the main places to kind of go for a band like Candlelight Red to kind of go out and do those early shows and kind of, cutting your teeth,
We could cut our teeth all over PA, a little bit of New York State and Maryland and Ohio. And the short answer is there really isn't a place for a band like us. We kind of stuck out like a sore thumb, but we kind of nudged our way into places, bars that would normally only have, cover party bands, and stuff like that. And, there are just some bars that wouldn't have us back, you're too heavy, you play too many of your own stuff, But then there were the bars that were just like, yeah, you guys are awesome, and we don't care what the format is, we want you back. You guys pack the place. So we're very thrilled that we did have a lot of hometown support and home area support in this region, and that people took to it and gave us a chance,
Very cool. So obviously it sounds like, over the time you guys really kind of spread yourselves out and kind of hit a lot of the areas, Baltimore, obviously Philadelphia, and I guess, would you go out further west and head out towards like Pittsburgh, things like that?
Yeah, well, actually we kept saying we want to get back into Pittsburgh. We won that KISS competition.
Oh, okay.
Which we have played at the First Niagara with KISS in Pittsburgh. But shortly after we started recording the album, then we've been out touring, anxious to get back to Pittsburgh and Philly. I think the last time we played Philly, if you're from Philly, you're probably familiar with this. We played a show with the guys in Octane.
Oh, okay. I know the band. I got the band Octane. Okay.
Yeah, and that was really fun, and we talked about doing some more shows, and like I say, everything started getting rolling, and next thing you know, we're out of the state.
Yeah. Touring with Seven Dust and all that stuff. Yeah. There you go.
But we'd certainly love to get back into Philly and Pittsburgh and some of the major cities around PA.
Okay, very cool. We are speaking with Jeremy Edge, who is a guitarist for Candlelight Red. They have a new CD called The Wreckage. Was that a duck? Did you hear that?
No, I'm actually, I have my cell phone on vibrate.
Oh, there you go. I thought so, I heard a duck or something going
so
by.
If so if I get an email or a text about it, everybody loves it.
Well, let's kind of go into one of the things I'm always interested in is obviously you guys obviously going around and you were playing shows and before you even got signed and stuff. But kind of give us a little bit of the background as to what kind of things had happened on your way to getting signed. Like where was that moment where, you know, that there was some interest as far as a label wanting to pick you up and that kind of stuff?
You know, actually, I mean, we weren't even thinking that we were anywhere near being able to shop the band or get a label interested. We just kind of recorded a three-song demo, and the demo version of Closer, we put on some local radio stations like Quick Rock and State College, and, it got spawned a little bit down in Maryland, and, you know, the next thing we know, there's a buzz going on. Because we had been in bands, separate bands, and just kind of got this one together thinking, we're just going to get this together and see what happens. But this label kind of heard about us and came to see us actually in Baltimore to play. And they were like, we really, really like you guys, but, we think, we want to see how the band progresses. And over the summer, I mean, we just, we won the Kiss contest, Guitar Center. We got a slot on one of the uproar shows in Scranton, opened up for some more nationals, got some outstanding press, and you just thought that was unheard of for an unsigned band. And he finally came to the table and was just like, hey, let's just take this to the next level. Let's take this out of the region and further than you guys could take it without us. And we're like, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, very cool. And speaking about going in and playing with a lot of other nationals and some, obviously some upper bands, playing Uproar obviously is a cool gig as well. But what are some of the other bands you've had the opportunity of opening up for?
Oh, let's see. In this lineup, I mean, we play with Hailstorm, which actually, used to play with some of our bands back in the day, okay. We were in different bands around Pennsylvania. We did a show with Tantric. Flaw.
Okay.
Egypt Central. We did like a month long tour with Egypt Central. Saving Abel. Cold. We did a few dates with Cold.
Okay.
Crossfade. Of course, after Saving Abel, we actually did like 2.5 months with Saving Abel. Then we a month of 10 years and a month of 7 though. So pretty much this whole year has been pretty much non-stock. Since we got out of the studio, it's been go, go, go.
That's cool. So pretty much, kind of off and on, but kind of, hitting these legs here with those bands. And what's the general reaction of a crowd? Obviously, people go there to see, like, 7 Dust or 10 Years or whoever it would be. But what's the general reaction like after, they kind of see, here's Candlelight Red comes out and maybe they've not, the first time they've ever heard you is right there in that live. I mean, what's the general reaction, when you go out there and perform those shows?
Well, out of all the shows we played this year, I can only count on one hand, like a couple, 2 or 3 shows where the crowd was so much as a little difficult. Actually, I think we've been blessed to be pair of bands whose audience would really dig what we do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so far the audience reaction has been fantastic. It's usually within the first song they're locked in. We usually open up with Bend and Break, which is one of our faster, heavier tunes, and at the end of that song Ryan holds a note out for I don't know how many seconds it is. It's pretty long. But on the record, people are thinking, oh, well, we probably fake that in Pro Tools, but, unless he's got a cold or something's up, usually 9 out of 10 shows, he does it for the full duration live, and usually, but in the first song, people are like, yeah, okay, it's on. Let's do this. So
yeah,
it's been fantastic so far. You know, knock on wood.
Yeah, very very cool. And one of the other things, going back into the CD, a couple of things that I really liked is, you know, obviously you got this great head. There's this great heaviness. But there's still a lot of very melodic qualities. You know, going back into the lead vocals, background vocals. There's certain songs that kind of do some, you know, where we have kind of the more the screaming type vocals in the background and stuff, which I think really complements a lot of these songs. I mean, you know, they really kind of take their own, a life of their own with how the songs are structured and things like that. And I can't really say enough. I just want to say again, you know, this is a really great release, and you know, again, I wish you the best of luck and nothing but more success on this as you guys are moving forward.
Thank you very much.
But one of the coolest things that I saw here is, you know, aside from all the tracks that you have here, track number 10 was the most interesting song, because I've never seen a hard rock band actually try to perform it. And it's She's Got the Look, which is a cover tune of the 80s song from Roxette, which I want to say first, I think you guys really, you know, compared to the original, and of course nobody's going to say, oh, come on, the original's great, but you guys do a really bang-up job on that song. And I guess I want to find out the story behind that, as far as, you know, getting that song, or, you know, how it came about, as far as getting that song, performing it, putting it on the disc.
Well, we did, you know, when we were playing, you know, bars and stuff, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, you know, you'd want us to play longer than 10 songs. So we, you know, instead of, you know, say, well, let's learn a like Hodgeback song or something, we would be like, let's take something off the wall and attack the songs if we wrote the song ourselves, and, mm-hmm. and just kind of remake it and make it do it how we do our normal music, you know, metal, you know, guitars, a little bit of screaming, singing, you know, the whole nine yards. And we did that with a bunch of songs. And that's just one that, you know, people seem to like live, and we just were kind of, for shits and giggles, threw it on the CD and recorded it. And it, believe it or not, it's just been one of the things that caught a lot of people's attention. And I guess it's a good thing, but it's kind of unexpected. But hey, you know, it's definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, like, when I first, you know, I'm kind of listening, and, you know, you're not paying attention. You get into the songs, like, man, this is really cool. And then when you hear it, you know, and when you're first really looking at it, She's Got the Look, and, you know, you're not expecting the actual cover song. Because it's one of those songs, like, it's not one of those, like, there's too many cover songs, I guess you could say, that are predictable, that bands just sit there and they come out and they just put these songs, and it's like, you know, you've heard the same cover songs from people, like, you know, I guess the one would be like, you know, how many times you're going to hear Born to Be Wild from Steppenwolf kind of thing. So when this comes on and I'm first listening to it, I'm like, wait a minute, I knew this song, you know, and you're going through and I'm like, man, but this song really, really kicks ass. You know, so it's you know, and it's a very cool way to end the disc with that song. I mean, you kind of cover everything, and then you just put this awesome cover back there, you know, behind it. So great job there. Jeremy, let's talk about, obviously you're the guitarist here for the band. Always interested to know about people's influences, and my biggest question is kind of going back to, you know, who were the either the artist or guitarist, whoever they are, that kind of got you into the mold of, this is what you wanted to do. You wanted to learn how to play guitar. You wanted to be in a band and go through that whole procession. Who were some of those people or bands that that influenced you?
You know, I mean, I got started when I was a kid, and, you know, I kind of picked up my older sister's record collections, and it was, you know, Iommi and Page, and later, you know, Van Halen. That was a big one. You know, I think everyone had their moment where they, you know, were blown away by Yngwie Malmsteen for like a year.
Everybody has that Yngwie.
So everybody's like, yeah, I learned to play faster in that time. You know? And then, you know, there's Dimebag Darrell. I mean, he's a huge Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. You know, basically, you try to absorb, you know, whenever there was a land-breaking guitar player like that. Stevie Ray Vaughan was another one. I actually went and saw him live when I was a kid with my dad and my guitar teacher. We were actually bandmates at one time. And went and saw them. Was it Live Alive tour? I was just a kid. I had my first guitar and went home, and they let me stay up late and I just practice, you know. So my dad was big into blues and country and stuff like that. So I have a little bit of everything, you know. I mean, everything from, you know, classic and southern rock to metal and classical. Just kind of been a sponge, kind of absorbing what I liked out of each one. And yeah, I think that's a lot of what about our band that throws people for a loop. You know, it's such a you'll hear like bits and pieces of the thing that we kind of took from everywhere. It was like we just took three or four bands and said, hey, we're really into these bands and we're just going to throw them all in a pot. It's like 100 different bands. So
yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you can tell that in the fact that there's a lot of music out there in modern hard rock that kind of has that very predictable sound. Where, you know, it's just everything just seems to be kind of packaged and prepackaged and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, you know, I can see a lot of the different, like some of those influences you're talking about there, and just even just the songs in general. Even going through your Facebook page right now and checking out, like, the different artists that the band likes, you know, and you mentioned everybody from, you know, Deftones, Bullet for My Valentine, Taproot, Avenged Sevenfold. Actually, you guys mentioned Avenged Sevenfold twice, so
that was probably a typo.
Yeah, it was probably a typo, but
yeah, I mean, we dig new bands like that. You know, Avenged Sevenfold, Kids of Close Roach Engage. You know, they're, you know, you're very much bringing back stuff that is somewhat old too. You know,
yes.
And I feel like, you know, there's lots of bands kind of just copying them. So the thing is just being run through a Xerox copier. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can definitely see where all of these different bands that are you know in that list, and plus all the other stuff, the older influences that you had mentioned, and I'm sure everybody else in the band has, you know, has something similar or something in varied degrees. But you can definitely see where all that stuff kind of comes together and fits in what you guys are doing. Now, let's talk about, as we're getting ready here to kind of close the interview here, well, one of the things I do want to ask you, we're getting towards the end of the year, you guys obviously have had some really good success here, getting to play on some very cool tours and obviously the release of the CD and so on. What are some of the things that are going to be happening in 2012? You know, anything that you can kind of talk about now? And for that, what do you see the band doing in the you know, moving on into the next year?
Oh, you know, basically, I mean, our tentative timeline is like this. I mean, we're going to be setting up a new single and a new music video. We're going to be making right at the beginning of the year. And then we're probably going to be releasing the hard copy of the record in the stores around sometime the end of the first quarter. Right about that time, we probably should start touring all the way into the end of the summer before we start recording the next album. It's too soon to tell yet, like, what kind of touring we'll do. I'm sure they'll go in for some festivals and some stuff like that. And I mean, you usually get a huge list of, you know, people that are going out, and you know, at the last minute we figure out exactly what's going on. I expect, like I said, new single, new music video, and a lot more touring, a lot more talent across the country next year.
Okay, well, that's sounds awesome. In my book, I do wish you obviously the best of luck moving forward, and hopefully we'll be able to catch you if you're in Philadelphia area or somewhere. If you end up in even Atlantic City, House of Blues or something like that, definitely would love to check you guys out. And maybe who knows? Maybe we end up if we can cross some stuff up. Maybe we even get to meet up, have a few brews, that kind of stuff. So it'll be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that would be great, man.
Before I let you go here, Jeremy, one more thing, if I can get you to do a short promo for me here for the program. Just kind of okay. Say who you are in the band and that you're listening to Rockcast with Jim Santora.
Okay. This is Jeremy Edge from Candlelight Red, and you are looking...
and the duck came out again. The vibrating that threw
okay,
you off.
On,
I
one
totally
more time.
There you go.
This is Jeremy Edge from Candlelight Red, and you are listening to Rockcast with Jim Santora.
Okay, awesome. Once again, Jeremy Edge, guitarist for Candlelight Red. They have a new CD, The Wreckage. Check them out at candlelightred.com. And check out all the stuff. Great CD. Check them out. 2012. Sure to be back out on the road and check out some show dates and things like that. And again, Jeremy, want to thank you again for jumping on here. And I wish you guys the best of luck. And you know, anything major comes up, you know, that I don't find out about first, feel free to, you know, shoot me a message or whatever, and we can, you know, definitely put it on the air here for you. Anything we can do to help you out, we will do that for you.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, Jeremy, you got it, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, have a good night.